Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. It's a familiar verse. And as you turn there, today's scripture reading is from Psalm 46, verse 1 through 5 and 10 and 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. For God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today's message is distracted worship. How about this last week? It wasn't picked based on the last week's activities. It was just something God gave to me. Distracted worship. And it was very easy in this last week to be distracted in our worship. And we're going to read some stories in here that we're familiar with and take a look at these things. And there's four things I want to talk about today as we go through three different scenarios. Number one, what are some distractions in our Christian walk? Number two, what is God's direction in this area of our Christian walk? Number three, how do we remove distractions from our Christian walk? And number four, we'll answer at the very end, what is the challenge for each of us in this area of our Christian walk? You may have noticed in each one I said, our Christian walk. I want us to focus more than ever on our daily Christian walk. As Jack and Janice said, continue to pray. Our prayer has been answered for Addie and Randy and Evelyn and Colton and those people. Amen. It's not over, folks. The praying is not done. When we prayed for everybody involved. When we had confirmation that Addie was safe, we gave God thanksgiving and we prayed to God and thanked Him for that protection. But we continue to pray for you guys because we didn't know. We continue to pray for the rest of this community that we didn't know. And we prayed for those that we knew about that had already lost their lives. See, our day-to-day life, everything we go in and out of, everything we do day in and day out, that is our Christian walk. I think if we were to stop and say, let's go Monday through Saturday. Forget Sunday, because some of us think, hey, when we're here, that is our Christian walk on Sunday. It's not. It's Monday through Saturday and what we do with our time and ourselves. And I think if we were to closely look at those things and look at what we do day in and day out, and for some of us it may be what we do on the weekends, for some of us it may be what we do in the evenings, I think we probably would not be too proud of our Christian walk. And that's because it's not Christ-like. Well, it's part of being a teenager. But it's part of being a young adult. Well, I am mature enough in my age that I can do whatever I want now. See, it doesn't matter if we're young, middle-aged, or older. We always have an excuse for doing these things. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that means being obedient in the Holy Spirit. All right, let's lift our Bibles up today if you've got your Bibles with you. This is my Bible. It leads me. It feeds me. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Again, it's very familiar. Satan is tempting Jesus. He had just been baptized. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. And it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's take a look at this real quick. In the very beginning, Jesus was led by Satan? No. Jesus was not led into temptation by the enemy. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. His response was, it is written. And when the enemy came, he said, hey, if you are this, do this. And let me tell you what, especially to our young people, there's a lot of things coming at you. They say, hey, if you're really that cool, do this. If you want to go out with me, do this. If you want to hang out with us, do this. If you say you're an adult, 18 or older, based on your birthday, do this. Watch out for the enemy. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, in verse 5. He set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And again in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Warning, warning, warning. Right after the baptism of Jesus and the Holy Spirit came down, we can count that as a spiritual victory, the enemy came in. Again, to some of our young people, you guys are going to Falls Creek in just another 2 weeks here. You may find spiritual victories there. Watch out, because the enemy is waiting just around the corner to see you in your new spiritual outfit, ready to stick his foot out and trip you and make you stumble. And see just how strong you are and how strong that spiritual encounter was. So again, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit, not by the enemy, but he was tempted by the enemy. One of the distractions from worship is temptation from the enemy. The enemy will show us a lot of fancy stuff and say, hey, you can have all this, but you just got to do this. Temptation may be covered in religious gift wrap, if you will. As you notice, Satan quoted Scripture when he talked to Jesus. Young people, middle-aged, older folks, watch out. The enemy may present things wrapped in spiritual gift wrap. Quoting Scripture at times or using it out of context. But each time Jesus had a response. And he said, for it is written. And my fear is, as a church body, if we don't know the Scriptures, we don't know how to defend that. And we don't know how to hold off the enemy. Wednesday night I specifically asked, what do we do as a church body to minister to our church? And as people threw out different ideas, I said, based on what? The Bible says it somewhere. I feel like it. I want us to know, what are we basing this on? And as the enemy comes in to attack, we've got to know what the Scripture says to know how to combat that and fight off the enemy. And we've got to be accurate. We've got to make sure that we can stand firm when the temptation comes. Jesus said at an early age when he got lost, and his parents went back and found him, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" He studied Scripture from an early age, and he knew those things. So when the enemy came up each time, he said, "For it is written." And on the third temptation, Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Distracted worship. First question, what are the distractions here? It's pretty easy to identify. It's temptation. It's temptation. What is God's direction for us how to handle that? He said, worship. You shall worship the Lord your God. Know God's word. Study that. Him only shall you serve. How do we remove the distractions? We worship the Lord and serve him only. Second story, flip over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. It's a very familiar story. It's about Mary and Martha. And it's about Jesus coming by to visit. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Okay, Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. "But Martha," in verse 40, says, "was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" Verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." This is a little more of a struggle, probably a little more common for us. I don't know, the last one probably was. I just think we look at it and say, "Well, Satan never took me up on this mountaintop to look down and say, 'You can have all this.'" But at the same time, he does at times during job opportunities or just boyfriends and girlfriends and relationships, houses, cars, the things we own. When faced with a choice of worship or work, they both had the same choice. And each chose a different one. Mary chose to sit at his feet and listen. Martha chose to be busy with much work and much serving. But Jesus simply said, "Mary has chosen the better part or the good part." He didn't say she chose the best way or the only way. He simply said she has chosen the better part. Okay. What's the better part? It's available to all of us. It's available to all of us. And day in and day out, we struggle with work and worship coming on a collision course. And what do? Well, I know I've got to go to work. I've got to get that paycheck. Some of you have already solved that. You've cleared it up in your mind. You don't have that collision course each day. 5 or 6 days a week, you've got the problem solved. You just go to work. There's no collision with worship because you have removed it. And you may think that's acceptable. It's not. It's not. We can't go the rest of the week and say, "I'll show up on Sundays and do my worship then." It's not good enough. It is not okay. It is not acceptable. So many needs around us each and every day, especially after this past week. That's when, little by little, all this plan and all the efforts we have to worship God, they drift by the wayside and they go away. All our plans, all our intentions, all the good work we were going to do, we disappear off the radar screen and we become a tiny blip showing up on the screen once a week, coming to do our duty to worship God. Maybe today you feel like, I'm serving at home, I'm serving at school, I'm serving at work in different ways, I'm serving at church, all these different areas. I'm serving in all of those. I'm serving in sports. I have school, I have work, I have all this that I need to juggle. And little by little, you start saying no. And while we want to have a good balance, little by little you say no to where people quit calling and asking, hey, can you help out? And you think, that's okay. I become a dark shadow and I'm okay. Well, salvation isn't about what you and I do, and it's not about our work and our serving. It's about what Jesus did for us. Maybe you think there's more to this Christian walk than you've experienced. We talked about the Christian walk and what that means. There's more to it than you've experienced. In Martha's busy attempt to serve the Lord, she almost missed the opportunity to know Jesus, to sit with Him and get to know Him in all her busyness to serve Him. Church, let's not be confused. Serving Him is great. Doing that where we miss the opportunity to know Him, not so great. Distracted worship. Busyness itself breeds distraction. Distractions here are busyness, work, serving. God's direction in how to handle that is choose the better part. And that better part is to worship Him and get to know Him. How do we remove those distractions? Simply sit once in a while. Simply sit. And be still and know that He is God. Once in a while we have to stand still. Walk through, smell the roses, get the aroma, enjoy it and move on. Don't be caught up with walking past the rose, looking at it, picking it, immediately cutting it at an angle, finding the proper vase to put it in, putting it in a vase with the proper amount of water and that certain stuff you put in there to make it last longer, and then worry about getting some baby's breath to put in there, maybe a little fern to stick in there. We've become distracted from just enjoying that rose because we had to make it just so. Third and final scenario. Fast forward a couple thousand years. Oh, let's say to this last week. Let's say to this last week, tornadoes came out of nowhere and slammed our state. Matthew 8, 23 through 27 says, now when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Sound familiar to anyone from last week? And suddenly a great wind came out of the sky, and we thought we may be perishing. In the Old Testament, Moses is warning the people about their possessions and where they came from, reminding them it's a gift from God. Deuteronomy 6 verses 10 through 16 says, "These things which we have and had were gifts from God." Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 through 16 says, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name." Don't let that last line confuse you when it said, serve God. We are called to serve him. But when it distracts us from knowing him, we're out of balance just a little bit. Verse 14, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God." God is reminding us of where his gifts come from. And his gifts came from him. Yeah, we went to work. And yeah, we pulled the money out of our wallet. And yeah, we bought it. And we got that job from him. And we got that pay and that money from him. All good things come from above. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." No amount of money in any of our bank accounts. No vehicle we buy could be fancy enough. No clothing could be nice enough. No furniture big enough, expensive enough. No house large enough. And there couldn't be enough stuff to put in it. No job prestigious enough. And no service that we do would be great enough to protect us from the storms we just had. You see, a lot of that wouldn't matter had we lost one of ours. You know, as we prayed up here and waited and hoped for good news for you guys and for you and for you and for the rest of you. Tim and Sheree, we knew you were safe because we were talking to you on the phone and communicating with you guys. And I'm talking about safe as in alive. None of this stuff would have mattered had the outcome been different. And none of it mattered, actually. When those storms came through, God didn't come through and say, "Ooh, big fancy house, let me just sway around that." God didn't say, "There's a school full of small children, let me skip over that." But at the same time, people are standing there going, "Man, my roof is still on my house. And the house right next door, half their house is gone." I close with this. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. Distracted worship. Distractions here can be things and possessions that we acquire. God's direction is give priority to Him. How do we remove these distractions? We build our house on the rock. We build a proper relationship with Him known as the rock. This isn't talking about an actual house. It's talking about our house, our body, our temple, and our relationship with Him. Today, if you're sitting here and have distracted worship, today is the day to change that. And the good news is that Christ is telling you to come to Him to do that. I've identified the distractions in these scenarios. I've identified God's direction in these areas. I've identified ways to remove the distractions. Now it's up to you to identify the challenge in your life and see what God has for you to do. He calls us to come to Him. All those who are weary and heavy laden. The good news is, again, you can find rest in Him. You can find peace in Him. You can find safety and security in Him. I thank God for the outcome we had for you, for our entire church, for Addie, and for Colton. And we worship God as we come against these things. And I pray and hope, had the outcome been any different, we would continue to pray and worship our God. As we close today, I just want to simply invite you to build your house on the rock, to remove the distractions from your life, to find that safety and security in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the protection and the safety that You have given us this past week in our church body. I thank You for those that prayed, that have given of their time, possibly their talent, their work, their effort, their finances, to the efforts that continue to go on in this community. God, today we just pray that distractions be removed from worship so that we can have communion with You, that we can know You while serving You. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Father, for those here today that feel distracted, I just ask You to touch their hearts and give them ways to remove those distractions, the examples we gave here. And it's simply reading Your Word and following Your direction. If you're here today and just want us to pray for you to remove those distractions, to help with the things that we do on the weekends and the evenings when nobody's looking, or when they are looking, that we think we have them fooled, would you just lift your hand so that we can pray for you? You don't have to come up here. I just want to be able to pray for you to remove those distractions. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for those that have lifted their hands. Anyone with distractions, so that we can pray for you and continue to pray for that change. Thank you, Father. Father, for those that have lifted their hands today. We ask you to know their struggles, to know their distractions, and to help remove them. Lord, continue to give us strength throughout the week. Help us in our Christian walk to be more Christ-like in the things that we do. Guide our words and our actions so that we can be light and salt to those we come in contact with.